Buckmaster with you along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, it's a picture-perfect weekend for mid-December. Anytime we get temperatures in the lower 70s with overnight lows around 40, for me, that's perfect.
Is this why we put up with those hot summer days in Tucson?
Yes. This is the reason, and the reason why so many people come out here this time of year. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, which is part of the growing Bustos Media I don't want to say empire.
I want to say empire.
Yeah, Tim Steller with me in studio.
How about family?
How about family? Thank you, Tom. It is a growing family. We've got five radio stations here under one roof, including the latest acquisition, the very popular station, The Drive. But this radio station is 1030. KVOI, The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk. We begin year 14 with the Buckmaster Radio Project Tuesday, January 2nd for our radio show. Then the 36th year on TV and radio in Tucson. We have our worldwide live listening and podcasts of the show, buckmastershow.com, the live line for our telephone interviews presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Media shout-outs on Friday, tucsonsentinel.com. Thanks, Dylan, and your team over there, Green Valley News, Saharita Sun, Dan Shear, Tucson Local Media Group, which includes Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. My co-media host is with me in studio. He was on time. I didn't have to start the show without him. Tim Steller, 2022 Arizona Newspaper Association of the Year, Columnist of the Year. Hey, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
And thank you for this incredible giant poinsettia, which I'm sure came from our wonderful sponsor Green Things, where they grew 21,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 21,000.
Yeah, I don't know where we got them from, the truth be told, but it has the Green Things appearance.
Yeah, it has the Green Things appearance and the packaging. All right, our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show, Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm doing great. Happy holidays. I'm a little jealous about that poinsettia, but
it
sounds
huge.
Awesome. I'm picturing it in my mind.
Oh, my gosh. It is so big, and it will make a welcome addition to the Buckmaster bungalow this holiday as we try to get through it without Anne. But, you know, we're taking one day at a time. My birthday's tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. First time without Anne as girlfriend and then wife for like 56 years of birthdays.
Oh, my goodness, Bill.
So, I'm around a lot of friends, which are making the situation much more tolerable. Wow, what a year you have had. Is it only 1 year you've been in office?
I mean, yeah, it feels like 10, actually, to be honest with you. But, it's been a busy year. It's you know, fun to have the opportunity to reflect on it, but it has been a busy year for sure.
You know, the renewal of, and I like the renewal of emphasis on consumer affairs in the AG's office. Just recently, the deal about insulin. These insulin prices are just, these are outrageous.
Yeah, that's, as you know, I campaigned on the idea of restoring the AG's office to its core mission. And a big part of that core mission is protecting consumers. So you've seen us act in that way and really get us back on track. We've got a lot of work to do, but the lawsuit that we filed against several insulin manufacturers, including Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk, and these PBMs, which are also known as pharmacy benefit managers, really stands out as one of those very pro-consumer lawsuits. And we're going to try to get the money back to Arizona consumers that they lost to these companies that schemed together to artificially boost or spike the price of insulin. And when you look at the cost of insulin in the United States compared to other countries, it's just obvious and egregious what these companies did. You know, you can go to any country in Europe and Canada and see insulin prices that are $2, and in the United States they were up to 100 or more. You know, that's come down a little bit due to some actions by other AGs and the Biden administration to about $35, but it's just bad. It's really bad.
All right, before Tim, I turn it over to you because you're going to change the topic. I do want to stay with Tim. You asked listeners before you came over for topic ideas and questions, and one of them came in from a friend of mine who's with the Tucson Metro Chamber, and they're very concerned. A lot of retailers are so concerned about organized retail theft and crime, and they wonder if your office, Chris Mays, is doing anything in that regard.
Yeah, actually, we're the leader in tackling organized retail theft in Arizona. We have an ORT, Organized Retail Theft Task Force, here. We work... our special agents are undertaking multiple investigations. We recently announced a huge organized retail theft bust in which we discovered 10,000 cloned gift cards, and we've been warning consumers to be aware of the fact that these scammers are basically taking gift cards off of the shelves, cloning them, and then putting them back on the shelves. And so when you go and you buy the gift card, it drains the money automatically off the card, and so you end up with an empty card under the Christmas tree. And it's really terrible. So we've been warning people about this. There's a number of things you can do to protect yourself, including checking the gift card number against the number on your receipt. If it doesn't match, it might very well be a cloned or fake gift card. Yeah.
I had not heard about this.
Ooh. And then prior to that, we announced earlier in the year a huge a bust of a ring of organized retail theft criminals who had been stealing baby formula in Arizona and taking it and selling it in other states, including New York. So, yeah, it's something that I know Tucson is really worried about, especially the retailers downtown. But we've been working with retailers all over the state, and we do have regular meetings with retailers in Tucson.
All right. Here is my friend Tim Steller. Go ahead, Tim.
Just a quick question before we move on from this. I know with these gift cards, you usually have to scrape off a PIN number and get what's under. You don't need to do that to clone a gift card, apparently. You don't need to scrape off and reveal the PIN number.
Yeah, Tim. No, what they do is they just swipe it through a reader, and so they take them. Sometimes what we have seen is they'll walk into a store, a Walmart or a Target, and they will have in one pocket they'll have cards that they've already stolen and swiped. And they will put it on the carousel while stealing another batch of cards to go and swipe. And so that's why you really need to check in the scratch-off area versus the receipt to make sure that those two numbers match.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just something to be for folks to be aware of, because we don't want people to wake up and on Christmas morning or during Hanukkah and not have what they thought their loved ones bought for them.
So this week you were at the Supreme Court, I believe, the Arizona Supreme Court, discussing the contradictory or conflicting abortion laws we've got. Can you tell us about what you, as I understand it, are arguing that the most recent law, the one that bans abortion, except with some exceptions after 15 weeks, that takes precedence over various versions of the 1864 ban that is also formally still on the books. How can that be? That is, how can we have two laws and this one takes precedence over the other?
Yeah, so that's, Tim, you've pretty neatly summed up our position, and we are arguing on behalf of the state of Arizona. I think this is obviously one of those areas where elections definitely mattered. They matter in a lot of different areas, but if my opponent had won this election, the state would be taking a very different position in this case, and I'm arguing that the, and this is basic statutory construction. It's basic and very settled bedrock law that you, when you have a two conflicting statutes, you choose to enforce and the more recent and more specific statute. In this case, the conflict is between this 1864 law that was let's be real and let's be clear, was passed when Arizona wasn't even a state, women couldn't vote, and the Civil War was still raging. And then a few years ago, the legislature and Governor Ducey passed a 15-week abortion ban, and you know, even Governor Ducey at the time stated publicly that he believed that the new law was the one that was to be enforced and not the old law. And what our lawyers argued to the Supreme Court was, A, the governor believed that, but we believe the legislature believed that, because if the legislature thought that the 1864 law should be enforced after Dobbs, they would have said that.
Well, they sort of say that? I mean, I remember the text of the law says that explicitly that the new 15-week ban does not repeal ARS 13-3603, which is the most modern update of the 1864 law. So, I mean,
they did not make it explicit that the 1864 law was to be enforced. And so, you know, it's sort of common sense that if you're going to enact a 15-week ban, that you know, was the view of the legislature and Governor Ducey, that ban would be enforced. And in fact, Governor Ducey actually said that in public statements. And so, you know, I'm not a fan, as you guys know, of either of these laws. Let's remember that both of them have no exception for rape or incest. And I don't believe that politicians should be should be dictating to doctors or women or husbands, families, what they do with their reproductive lives, and certainly shouldn't be impacting women's economic and reproductive destinies. And that's what this is about. You know, I said on the steps of the Supreme Court the other day after the oral arguments that if that 1864 ban were to be imposed on us in Arizona, we would be like Texas. I mean, let's be clear. What happened to Kate Cox, the woman in Texas who was forced, or she's decided to go out of state, but the Texas Supreme Court decided to try to force a woman in Texas to carry to term, despite the fact that her doctors said that she needed an abortion to preserve her fertility in the future. I mean, how absurd is it that we've gotten to a point in this country where states can tell women and doctors that they know better than those doctors about what to do about a deeply troubled pregnancy like that? And if that 1864 ban were to be reimposed on the people of Arizona, that is exactly where we could be in counties, you know, if we had a county attorney that wanted to go forward with a prosecution. Now, of course, as you know, the governor has placed authority for prosecution of abortion in my hands, and I've said we're not going to be using our resources that way, but who knows? You know, we do have two county attorneys who've been clear as mud about that issue.
We wanted to ask you about that, Bill. Do you prefer to go to break now, or should I call
Yeah, I would, Tim, okay. Because we are at the break. The official break comes up at 12:19, and that's exactly where we are. Chris May sticks around, Arizona Attorney General, for segment two. But right now, let's hear from the great sponsors like Mona's Danish Bakery. Tim, I know you could probably go with a Danish Kringle right about now, couldn't you?
Right about any time.
Right about any time, I know. Mona's Danish Bakery. Chris, what about you with bakery goods?
Absolutely love them. Absolutely. Even more than poinsettias. You wouldn't believe it.
There's no doubt about it, is there, Chris?
No, unequivocally in favor of pastries. I mean, I love an apple turnover any day of the week.
All right, Mona's Danish Bakery, open right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. And just saying Danish Kringle seems like Christmas, you know, Kris Kringle and the whole thing. Anyway, Mona's danishbakery.com is the website. More with Chris May is right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Arizona's Attorney General Chris May is joining us on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. My co-host today, Friday, we bring in one of our friends from the media to join me in the questioning. And today, it's the award-winning columnist Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, I'm going to let you follow up. on the abortion issue. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on the prosecution question. So, correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is this is the way it worked. The governor issued an executive order saying that only the Arizona Attorney General could enforce abortion laws, and you said that you were not going to be prosecuting anybody under these laws. Is that more or less correct?
Yeah, I mean, and I've been clear about that from, you know, from the jump, Tim, that this is not what I think we should be using state resources on. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we have so many much more important issues and things to prosecute, including our fentanyl crisis, addressing that, prosecuting, you know, the drug runners that are bringing fentanyl into our state, making sure that we protect our consumers from frauds like the gift card scams that we just talked about, making sure we protect our water supplies and go, you know, go after environmental polluters. Those are the things I'm focused on. You know, I do have prosecutorial discretion. And then lastly, I believe that these both of these abortion bans violate the state's constitution's privacy clause.
Yeah. But the thing that worries me about this is essentially, I mean, if you've abortion granted is a unique issue. But yeah. If you take any other criminal law into and swap it in for abortion prosecutions, then you're essentially taking the right to squelch any category of prosecutions. Let's imagine, I don't know, money laundering or child porn or fraud or, you know, and you could choose any category of laws and have the governor say only the attorney general can prosecute it. And then the attorney general say, yeah, and I'm not going to prosecute it. That worries me.
Yeah, and I know that is something that county attorneys candidly have brought up. I understand that concern. I absolutely do. This is an extraordinary situation, though, and I think it's why we have a, you know, supervisory authority for the attorney general. We are talking about the possibility of an 1864 law that directly targets women and doctors, but really women. And it's a matter of extreme statewide concern, serious statewide concern. And so I didn't take this lightly. I certainly do not take my supervisory authority lightly, or ARS 41-193. That really lays out that supervisory power over county attorneys. I think it should be very, very rarely used. I think it has been very, very rarely used, but we have never, ever had a situation like this one in which a constitutional right was overturned by the Supreme Court that had been in place for 50 years. And where now we are, the women of Arizona are facing the possible reimposition of an 1864 law. So,
And these county attorneys, though, theoretically will challenge you on this if they find a case that they believe merits prosecution.
Yeah, I guess
they'll just file it, right?
We'll see, Tim. That's a really interesting question. And when I have had conversations with county attorneys, I have said, so does anybody in this room want to prosecute a doctor for abortion? Mm-hmm. And it's crickets. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think they do, because I think they understand just how catastrophic that would be for the state, for maybe for their personal political careers, for our economy. You know, I mean, just think about what this would mean for a state like Arizona, which is trying to attract, you know, corporate headquarters, trying to attract the best and the brightest, what it would mean for our universities that are trying to, you know, attract the best and the brightest minds from across the country, for us to impose an 1864 law on women.
You mentioned the politics of it. I mean, I won't question whether you're acting on principle. I assume you are. I'm sure you are. But coincidentally, your principal, so you're standing on principle, also happens to have some significant political benefits, right? I mean, this is some. I'm sure you see that most Arizona voters are with you, and probably nationwide, most American voters are on your side of this issue. That's correct, isn't it?
Well, I said, I mean, it's definitely correct that the women of the nation and the women of Arizona are with me on this issue. And I think I'm sitting in this office, the Attorney General's office, because of this issue. I mean, you guys know I didn't win by a whole bunch, but, you know, I'm pretty sure that the overturning of Dobbs had a significant impact on my election. And I think the people of Arizona sent me here, frankly, for this very purpose and for this very moment. To go to the Arizona Supreme Court and to argue against that 1864 ban.
All right. I want to rock and roll here. I've got about 5 minutes more with Chris, and there's a bunch of topics I need to get to. Proposition 413, which would give the first raise to city council people in Tucson in, I think, about what, Tim, 20 years or something like that, Prop 413.
No, it would take effect right away.
But, I mean, it's the first time.
Oh, it's the first time in 20 years. I apologize, yeah.
But is there going to be, is the AG office going to ask for a recount, or have they had any kind of ruling on that?
Yeah, we have not put our determination out on that. Guys, I do know that we are working on it, and we will have something for folks hopefully very soon. I know people are anxiously awaiting that determination, and it's in our Solicitor General's office. They've been real busy with the abortion issue, so it's we are working on it.
What's the most important thing, Chris Mays, we need to think about with the water rights for Arizona?
Well, thanks for asking that question, Bill. We desperately need water reform in Arizona, especially groundwater reform. We have a situation in which pretty much anybody with the biggest straw, the biggest pump, can stick a straw in the ground and dewater a neighbor's well, and especially in rural Arizona. The situation southeast of you guys down there in Cochise County that is very dire. Situation in La Paz County in which the Saudis and the Emiratis are doing deep water drilling and farming that has essentially caused the entire town of Wendon to sink by 4 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's something in my office is taking very seriously. I think you'll see something from us in early 2024 on that. We're going to do everything we can with the tools that I have as Attorney General, but we need more. We need the legislature and the governor to take swift action to pass groundwater reforms that allow the creation of new AMAs. Frankly, I think the governor could create new AMAs tomorrow if she wanted to. She could also, in the Department of Water Resources, could impose a deep water well moratorium, which I think is necessary and called for given the current situation. But make no mistake, every minute that we waste, we are losing tens of thousands, if not, millions of gallons of groundwater that we will never get back, that we are going to need as a state down the road.
Tim, what's your final words?
Oh, well, what about Cochise County? You mentioned the water issue. What about the prosecutions down there? You're prosecuting two county supervisors over their failure to certify in time. That's basically it, right? They didn't certify when they were supposed to, the election results in 2022.
Yeah, we are, and I'm going to allow that case to move forward. Obviously, we moved on that. We did not take that lightly. But in general, what I would say is we are going to continue to uphold our democracy. We're going to continue to enforce the law, whether there's an R or a D behind someone's name. It doesn't matter. If you violate the law, If you undermine our election system, we will move to protect our system of democracy in this state and in this country. Got another very important election coming up in 2024, and I want to make sure that people know that.
I also want
elections officials to know that we will protect them against any threat of violence against them.
Speaking of elections officials, could that Cochise County investigation or case take in any other defendants in Cochise County who played a role in that outcome there?
You know, I'm not going to say anything more about that, Tim, right now. No, I'm going to just leave it at that.
All right. Quick question from a listener. Mike called us on our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Mike, I'm up against a hard break, but go ahead, sir.
Real quick, I want to know if she was pro-choice. I'm pro-choice for the fact if you're not in a position to raise a kid for the rest of your life, you should make the choice of not getting pregnant in the first place. Therefore, there would hardly be any abortions at all.
Thank you, Mike, for weighing in. Chris, do you have anything to say to Mike?
Well, I am pro-choice. And more importantly, I'm, you know, in favor of this decision being left to women and families and doctors. And I just don't believe that there's a role for government to play. And I think that the Supreme Court got it right with Roe. I think we had a good sort of legal infrastructure for abortion prior to the Dobbs decision. And I'm going to do everything I can as Attorney General to uphold a woman's right to control her own future.
All right. And I'm going to break my own rule, even though I said that we're out of time. I'm going to add one more quick thing. With the legislature coming into session beside the water rights that you articulated, anything else you want to see out of this legislature, Chris Mays?
I would love to see a red flag law passed, and we're going to support a proposed red flag law to at least protect our schools against individuals who are threatening to use a gun against a school or against kids. This would mimic orders of protection in domestic violence cases and allow the authorities to at least temporarily remove a gun from an individual who is threatening schools. Would love to see that passed. I think it's common sense.
Anything else?
No. You guys covered the landscape.
We did.
Including poinsettias and Danish.
Yeah. We covered it all. That's what we do here on the Buckmaster Show. Rock and roll, Chris Mays. Always a pleasure. Chris, we go back a long time, so I want to wish you and yours a very happy holiday season.
Thank you, Bill. Same to you. Same
take
to
care.
You, Tim.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
We can take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Tim and I have a few things to say right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
I've known the Chavez family for 35 years, and thanks to Chavez and 67, you won't find any soft, saggy cushions at the Buckmaster Bungalow. Chavez and 67 can restuff your cushions with new, firm, high-density foam. What a difference that makes. They also offer full upholstery services. Give them a call at 520-795-8032 or check out the website chavezand67.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this December the 15th, thanks to Chris Mays, Arizona Attorney General. Tim Steller with me from the Arizona Daily Star. Okay, I want to hear the Tim Steller take on this dust-up at the University of Arizona, and it's more than just a minor dust-up. It's a huge financial mess.
Yeah, it's really big.
It's big.
It's been coming for a while. That's my understanding from talking to people who are on the budget committee, which includes faculty and administrators. They've been getting hints for more than a year that maybe something wasn't right. And I don't know what was in the administrators' minds, but what I suspect is that they were, well, there's budgeting forecasting that went awry. So there's that excuse or justification. There's also, I think, in the background, I suspect that there was this kind of gambling going on. That is, we're going to spend a bunch of money on some great initiative, strategic initiatives, as they call it.
Yeah.
And that's going to pay off. You know, and it's going to cover the costs and then some. They've built, you know, you can't go to the campus without seeing one or two new buildings going up.
Yeah.
Not all paid with administrative money or what have you. Some of it's donor money. But, you know, there's all kinds of initiatives that have taken money across the U of A. They lent $86 million in total over different loans to the athletics department.
Yeah.
And so, my take, since you asked for it, is that they spent thinking that they would get a return and that they have not gotten the return in time to avoid, a crunch, a financial crisis.
But it has really set up for the Board of Regents an oversight that will continue with all three state universities at this point.
Yeah, right. So the Board of Regents announced the other day that they are going to take over the CFO spot for now from Lisa Rolney, who resigned this week. They also set up a whole bunch of different measures that they're going to take for financial accountability. You know, the only time I've really written about this particular issue, my point was that I don't know if I trust the Board of Regents to have to hold the administration accountable. Now, this was several weeks ago I wrote that, and you know, I'm not saying that they were responding to me, but this is the kind of response you would offer if you were trying to hold somebody accountable. What really struck me, though, in conversations over these last few weeks is a point that was made to me by physics professor Johann Rafalski, who's on that budget committee, that there really isn't an independent controller or auditor within the university itself, that everybody is dependent on the president, answers to the president. Uh-huh. There's nobody out of that line of hierarchy who can raise these concerns.
And like an independent
auditor or controller. Yeah. And so we've all been relying on the Board of Regents to play that role. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, the board has been extremely supportive of President Robbins his initiatives.
Yeah.
And so I don't think there has been anybody really with the interest in finding these problems until now, until it was unavoidable to reveal them and deal with them.
Well, we're scheduled to have President Robbins. I think we've got 10 minutes with him at the top of the show on Tuesday. And last I heard, that interview is still on. I hope it will stay on the books and hear what he has to say about this plan that he submitted to the Board of Regents. So you're working on a story for Sunday about the really big announcement that will come out of the Board of Supervisors on the 19th about the replacement for Sharon Bronson. Of course, there's really two ways to go, a placeholder or someone that could then run for re-election next year.
So the last time there was a similar appointment was when Richard Elias died in, I believe, March 2020, and the board chose to appoint Betty Villegas, who said she was not going to run for the office. One of the reasons they did that was that the election was going to be in the primary in August and the general in November of that year. So there's hardly any time even to file signatures to get on the ballot. And Villegas served out Elias's term, and then Adelita Grijalva won the seat in the next election. Previously, though, if you think back, Dan Ekstrom, Ray Carroll, Ramon Valadez, and Richard Elias all were appointed and then served long periods in office, up to almost 20 years in Ray Carroll's case. And so what that means is this appointment is a big deal.
Like, it's a huge deal.
It may very well put someone in office representing District 3 for the next 10 to 20 years.
All right. Thank you so much, Tim, for all you've done for this program and continue to do. We'll look forward to our relationship in 2024. Thank you to you and everybody at the Star for presenting the Buckmaster Show with a beautiful poinsettia. Thanks, Tim. Hope you have a great Christmas.
Thank you, Bill. I'm thinking of you.
Thank you very much. Take a break right here. Matt Russell, Weekend Watch is next.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
And it's time for Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Weekend Watch is presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Perfect time of year to do some hiking over in beautiful Silver City. I like that forecast, mid-60s by the weekend. So good weather to get out and about. So many outdoor activities, including the Gila National Wilderness and the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. If you're looking for a nice kind of weekend getaway, only about a three-hour drive, and a Victorian architecture looks so beautiful in Silver City, especially this time of year with all of the holiday lights. So check it out. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. You know, this time of year, suffice it to say that my shaking and stirring starts a little early on Fridays. I hope that's okay with you.
It is, and I want to ask you here, and I actually have a little extra time, but not much, but I do want to ask you about that red Santa suit. This is that Santa suit that you have pulled out for the for year after year for the holiday parties for Russell Communication. Going back to when we started Weekend Watch back in 2011, it was a brand new suit at that time. and the big Santa belt, I know you've had, it is notchable.
Yes, it absolutely is. You know, there seems to be less and less fabric in this costume every single year. I'm sure it's all the fault of my tailor, but my dry cleaners. But, maybe a little too much shaking and stirring over these last few years.
There you go. You've been eating well, my friend. And speaking of eating, we've got a new restaurant alert. What's on the horizon?
Absolutely. Well, this week's grand opening is at the corner of Oracle and Orange Grove. It's Red Bird Scratch Kitchen and Bar with a menu bill that offers what they call approachable classics with high quality ingredients. So what does that even mean? Well, how about green chili bacon waffle fries for starters? They've got a 3x3 burger with three patties, bacon, green chilies, red bird sauce, a triple cheese sauce. Like, double cheese isn't enough, Bill Buckmaster. And then one of the other things on the menu that caught my eye, you know, I love buffalo wings. Well, they start with buffalo wings and then top them with roasted street corn, chilies, candied peppers, cilantro, lime cream. I mean, load these babies up. check out Redbird this weekend. You're in for a treat.
Well, you know what's coming out of my mouth. That baby has its own zip code. Wow.
Got it.
Three giant patties anyway. All right. It's downtown Parade of Lights time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really, I think, one of Tucson's treasured celebrations. The downtown Parade of Lights all starts tomorrow at 4 o'clock with the festival starting at Armory Park with craft vendors. They're going to have live holiday music, photos with Santa, other entertainment. And then the parade is going to kick off at 6:30 right there at the corner of 17th Street and Stone. Bill, nearly 15 local food trucks are going to be on hand. Not only at the festival at Armory Park, but along the parade route as well. A couple of my favorite food trucks, Charlie's Barbecue and Lahaina Waffle Dogs, are going to be there. So pack the family in the car, head downtown, immerse yourselves in all things holiday, all about the sights and sounds of the season at the downtown Parade of Lights.
All right. It's no secret that the Buckmaster Bungalow has been home to cats, many cats over our, oh my gosh, 36-year anniversary in the Buckmaster Bungalow coming up in January. That we love cats. Any news about our little feline friends?
Well, you know, that makes two of us. I grew up with lots of cats running around the house, you know, and tomorrow night is a chance, Bill, for all of us cat people to enjoy a great pasta dinner with all the proceeds donated to Southern Arizona Cat Rescue. So this is a delightful evening filled with delicious pasta dishes that are actually made fresh by the culinary club at my alma mater, Saguaro High School.
Wow.
With live entertainment, the silent auction, raffle. There's going to be a cookie decorating workshop. And, of course, Santa's going to be making a special appearance. So it all starts tomorrow at 5:30 at the Armory Park Center on South 5th Avenue. And it's only $20 a person. So help with this really important local cat rescue effort while enjoying some great pasta dishes tomorrow.
Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for all the cat lovers. Matt, I hope you have a terrific weekend.
Yeah, and a wonderful birthday to you, Bill, tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Matt Russell. All right, The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications. That's my company, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by my German friend. His name is Christophan. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, and everybody here at KVOI, including my longtime engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks. Tom does a great job, and so does the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. So tomorrow will be my first birthday since 1967 without Ann Buckmaster by my side, but actually, I know she'll be by my side in spirit. In Ann's honor, I close the show with Jonathan Pierce singing Carry You With Me.